It's time for our weekly segment with Grayson Grundhaver of Sikkim365.com.
Earlier today, if you did not hear the news about Mario Kegler, was suspended by the Baylor men's basketball program for violation of team rules, and now he's decided he's going to turn pro, probably goes to Europe or somewhere to try to get his career on track and going at the professional level. And Ashley Hodge joined us, who was with the team when they went to Italy this summer, and gave us insight on that. We're now joined by Grayson Grundhaver, Sikkim365.com, who joins us on ESPN Central Texas, Baylor, Iowa State. All right, Grayson, I've looked at some of the stats. I'm not a big stats guy, but I've kind of dug into a little bit of that. What statistic of Iowa State, either on offense or defense, jumped out at you as something that you might have surprised you?
So the stat that I'm really looking at isn't really just a team stat for Iowa State. It's more of a Brock Purdy stat. He, of course, is the quarterback of the Iowa State Cyclones. And this stat I thought was absolutely crazy and not one that I was expecting at all. But right now, Brock Purdy is second among active players in passing efficiency per 300 attempts. The only person he is behind is Tua at Alabama, and that just kind of speaks to the kind of player that Brock Purdy is. 9-3 as a starter at Iowa State, and a guy that's been extremely efficient, even against some of the tougher defenses in the country.
Grayson, these teams really kind of look very similar. I know that, that Iowa State has that loss, but they had one hell of a scare against Northern Iowa, just like Baylor did against Rice. Charlie Brewer and Brock Purdy appear to be kind of cut from the same quarterback cloth, or out of the same quarterback factory kind of a thing, because their build and game and all that seems to be pretty similar. They both teams want to run the ball between the tackles. Both teams run the same kind of defense. What do you think the biggest differences are in these two teams?
I think that Iowa State pretty much has more proven talent on the defensive side. So kind of what I mean by that is just the fact that they had four preseason first-team All-Big 12 players coming into the season: Jaquan Bailey, Ray Lima, Greg Eisworth, and Marcel Spears. So they have four legit superstars that people picked, you know, to be on that Big 12 team. And I think that's really the main difference as far as from a defensive side. You know, Baylor's still got a lot of guys that are trying to prove, you know, that they're in that upper echelon of talent in the Big 12. Of course, James Lynch and Clay Johnston are two that have already done that. But when you look at guys like Chris Miller, Graylin Arnold, you know, Riley Tejada, some of the guys that maybe people don't know about as much or aren't the household names, I think that's the main difference that I see, especially on the defense side, between these two teams. But offensively, I think it's the exact opposite. You know, Baylor has Denzel Mims, a proven commodity that everyone in the Big 12 knows about, whereas Iowa State's kind of working in guys that are, you know, trying to step in for Hakeem Butler, who this team lost. And they've been doing a pretty good job with Deshaunte Jones and Tariq Milton stepping in at the receiver position. But those are kind of some of the key differences that I see as far as the household name kind of approach from each team.
I used this yesterday, a nugget yesterday, that when I filled out my Big 12 preseason team, which, you know, is a little more complicated than, because if you're a fan of Iowa State, or you're a fan of Oklahoma State, you're a fan of TCU or whoever it is, you look for your players. And you're like, well, hey, And then you got to go select that team, either preseason or postseason. It's like the All-State teams. It's hard. And I sat there and I looked at my defensive team. I was like, damn, I got five guys from Iowa State right here. I mean, and at the positions where you want them too, you know. And you're right, man. They got some dudes that have got some skins on the wall. So I asked this question for Marcus Satterfield yesterday. If you can't run the ball well against Rice, what makes you think you can run the ball against Iowa State?
It's kind of funny because I listened to that interview, and the answer that Coach Satterfield gave you was kind of the answer that I'm going with as well. And it's the fact that this Baylor team has been practicing against, you know, a 3-4, 3-3-5 defense, you know, depending on how you want to classify it. But they've been practicing against that kind of defense. And so you play against Rice, a team that's got four down linemen, and it's a little bit different. And so I think that Baylor's going to see a more natural look for them this week. I also don't see Iowa State playing the run like Rice did. Rice put a ton of guys in the box, and Baylor just kind of, as Coach Rhule said earlier this week, he felt like it was a little overconfident play calling a little bit, just thinking you're going to run at formations that there was just no way you were going to run against it. And so I think that Iowa State's going to play a few more guys off a little bit and allow – I think they're going to allow some smaller runs. They're not going to give up the big play. At least they're going to try not to. But I think Baylor will have plenty of success running the football enough to where it could open up the passing game a little bit against Iowa State.
I got to ask you this question. And why the hell does Iowa State hate Baylor?
You know, I've been trying to think the same thing. But I will say, Craig and I, when we were doing the podcast, we went back and watched a great highlight, just, you know, one of those key highlights in Baylor history. And it was 2013, and the score was 64-7. And Iowa State kicked the ball off. They just scored their first touchdown of the game. They'd finally gotten on the board. They kicked it off to one Corey Coleman. And Corey Coleman, instead of, you know, waving fair catch, he was, you know, a redshirt freshman just trying to, you know, make a name for himself. He runs right up the middle of the field, takes it to the house. Baylor wins 71-7, and it was like he was stomping on a cyclone that night. And I got to say, I think maybe a little bit of bad blood was formed there. I also think Scott Drew's dominance at Hilton is another reason why they just do not like Baylor at all.
Yeah, like, you're allowed to beat us in football, but my God, you're not allowed to win. Paul mentioned that earlier at the Hilton Coliseum. That's just unfair. That's like, okay, everything's fine. But by God, you don't beat us in men's basketball at our home court. And that, and I've been to that place. That's a crazy, great, maybe as good a home atmosphere. I know Cameron Indoor and Rupp Arena and all, but I tell you, Hilton Coliseum, that's a compliment. Like, I compliment, I was up there that one time, the road trip, and that's a great place. That's a great home crowd for the Cyclones and the men's basketball team. All right, Grayson. I think Iowa State's a year or two ahead of where they are under Matt Campbell than where Baylor is. That doesn't mean Baylor can't win tomorrow. So I have Iowa State with an edge there. Would you agree with that?
Maybe an edge as far as where maybe people think he's got the program, but I think Baylor has the edge tomorrow, honestly. I think it's going to be a really good game, really close game. Two programs trending in the right direction, but I do feel like Baylor is going to win this game at home. First time Iowa State's taken the road this year. I actually think Baylor is going to come away with this one.
All right. Thank you very much. Grayson Grunhafer with us Fridays, 345, sikkim365.com.